Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
The Blue Jackets' losing streak came to an end last night. After five games that they couldn't find a victory, they did it on home ice against the Anaheim Ducks. First time they beat the Ducks at Nationwide Arena since 2017, by the way. They win it 4-3. Adam Fantilli in overtime gets it done. I'm Bob McElligott. Jody Shelley is not here tonight. He is on assignment, as we say in the business. And Jean-Luc Grandpierre is admirably filling in for Jody Shelley here this evening. Jean-Luc, that game last night, 3-2 going into the third period, and the Blue Jackets late in the period have a crazy goal scored against them. And you don't want to say, oh no, another third period collapse. But you do wonder, because it's happened so many times to this team. But last night, I felt for the first time since they've been having trouble in the third period, last night they just kind of took care of it. They just didn't flinch. They gave up the late goal. They didn't worry about it. They didn't push. They kept getting their chances, taking their chances. And then in overtime, they got the job done. But, man, what a crazy turn of events last night against the Anaheim Ducks.
There's no doubt about it, Bob, and we can go so many ways with that statement. But number one, right, that third period looked completely different than what we've seen in the past, where the Blue Jackets kind of collapsed, allowed a lot of scoring chances. You look at the real scoring chance in the third period, there weren't many, and that goal was scored from below the goal line by the Zamboni door. It was an incredible shot there by Lacombe, the defenseman. So,
listen, he used the head of Jet Greaves to put the puck in the net. That's why I was a little bit concerned, because I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, people keep saying, and I'm sure they've said it to you over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, what happens in the third period where things get away? And I tell them, honestly, it's something different every time. And in my head, I'm thinking, if this one gets away, how am I going to explain this one? I mean, a guy takes a puck in the side of the head and it goes in the net. Crazy.
It makes no sense, right? And, you know, you talk to the players and it's like, hey, do you guys feel good in the third? And they always say, yes, we do. But last night, Dean Evason, they asked him, like, when they scored that goal, what were your thoughts? And he said, for the first time, right, being honest, he's like, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Here we go again, right? And then Troy Terry gets a breakaway literally like 10 seconds after that goal, and you're thinking, that's it, right? But they found a way. I think they held strong. They play a strong third period. And then Adam Fantilli with, I think he wanted to show off a little bit there, because Leo Carlson was on the ice at the beginning of the overtime. Leo Carlson was on the ice when he scored that goal, blew past him as he was tired, and scored that incredible goal for his second overtime of the season. So it was a well-earned, hard-working win for the Blue Jackets, no doubt.
When you talk about Adam Fantilli and Leo Carlson, here's the backstory. You go back to 2023, and Connor Bedard was going number one in the draft. The question was, who's number two? Adam Fantilli to the Ducks or Leo Carlson to the Ducks? And the popular thinking at the time was Fantilli's going to Anaheim. In fact, I remember being there the night before, and still you didn't know. Day of, you didn't know. Now, we all know what happened. Carlson went to the Ducks, number two. Fantilli comes here to the Blue Jackets, number three. And everything's fine. Last year, Adam Fantilli becomes the first of that group to get 30 goals in a season, 30-plus goals. But this year, you look at it, and coming into the game, Carlson with 41 points for the Anaheim Ducks. He is tearing it up. And Fantilli had about, you know, close to half of that for the Blue Jackets. A slow start for him again, like he had last year, but he's been turning it on as of late. I'm sure you're right. When he had a chance to put it away, he was not going to miss that chance.
Yeah, there's no way he was going to miss that one, no doubt about it. But yeah, you talked about number two, number three overall pick in that year, and it's really incredible to see. You look at their point total throughout their career, they're about even if you think about it, but the path of development is completely different, right? We all remember the first season there, Carlson was being sat out because they were trying to rest him and make sure that he could gain some weight, and they wanted him to learn the game the right way. And I remember looking at it, I was like, what is Pat Verbeek What is he thinking, right? Send him back to Sweden. Just let him play as many games as possible. We're thinking this is the path to develop a young guy. And they were patient with him, and he's absolutely exploded this year. So it's nice to see. But also for Fantilli, it was nice to see him have some success there against the number two overall pick.
And don't forget, Zach Werenski had two goals in regulation. I know his teammates wanted him to shoot for a third. Typical Zach, he's worried about getting the win. And even at the end, when he honestly, I believe him when he says, I don't care about getting the third goal. I just want to get the win in that game. And he had opportunities to get the third one. Don't get me wrong, but I felt like, and I talked to Mike Havlin, Blue Jackets assistant coach, after the second period, and I said to him, I go, Mike, I just watched Zach Werenski tonight, and I feel like he's a man on a mission to get this losing streak over. If he can do it himself, he's going to do it himself. Did you feel that way watching him last night?
Absolutely. You can see with his body language, right? The first 5 minutes of the game, Blue Jackets are in their zone. They're scrambling the whole time. They didn't break, but, you know, Anaheim had the momentum. And then at the halfway point, when Zach Werenski scored that goal, it's almost like he's skating a different way when he's angry. And you can tell he said, enough with this losing streak. We need to put that behind us. And if I have to score three goals tonight to make it stop, I'll do it. And that's the kind of attitude that Zach Werenski played with yesterday. I don't want to say he played angry because, you know, it's not like he was out there fighting and hitting guys, but the way he played with the puck offensively, he was angry, you could tell, and it was a fantastic game by him. And game number 600 it was for him?
Yes.
Yeah, so congrats to him.
I think what you're talking about, we could kind of roll it this way. He played with a purpose last night.
With a purpose. You know, skating in a way, like, you know, that 2-on-1, he didn't even look at Isaac Lundstrom. He's like, I'm going to put it in. I mean, like, because I looked at the replay a couple of times and we're like, hey, 2-on-1, and he's going to look off. He did not even look. It was basically like a 1-on-0 because he was like, I'm going to put it in. And, you know, guys like Nate MacKinnon, sometimes when they get the puck, they almost have that aggressiveness, that violence with their step. That's how Zach was skating last night. It was nice to see.
And a goal for Boone Jenner in that game as well. And I think that's important for him. He's just recently back from his injury. He wants to be a bigger part of what's going on here. He had to sit out and wait for weeks before he could even get back. And it's just human nature, especially for a guy like Boone. He wants in the middle of it. He wants to help. He wants to be a part of it. Last night he was.
Yeah, he was. And with Boone Jenner, the goal, it was a typical Boone Jenner, right? Right in the slot there. But the battle started in the corner, and there's a one-on-one battle in the corner. That puck goes up to the point for Provorov, who shoots it right away, and Boone bumps the defenseman, beats him to the front of that, and puts it in on the back end. It's ugly. It's not sexy, but that's a typical Boone Jenner goal, and that's why Dean Evason loves him so much, just because he just brings everybody in the battle with the way he plays.
Yeah, and he did bring him into the battle last night. That streak couldn't have ended soon enough for anybody around here, right? I mean, it's that scene from Slapshot, you know, where Reg Dunlop gets the goalie ejected from the game. I won't say how, but he gets the goalie to go crazy and gets ejected from the game, and they're coming in off the ice, and I remember the captain, Johnny, the captain, he's like, that's the longest losing streak of my life or something. I cleaned it up. But anyway, that's what it felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm glad you cleaned it up, first of all. But two, yes, last night it just felt like enough is enough, right? And even when it was tied 3-3, you're like, I just hope they can finally catch a break, because let's not kid ourselves. They played extremely well against Vegas. I still believe they should have won against Vegas, but talent won that game. The Vegas Golden Knights, extremely talented, and they play with a purpose as well. That was, to me, the difference in that game. So last night against Anaheim, I was hoping that they were going to find a way, and they did.
And it's the first of two meetings this week between the Blue Jackets and the Ducks. They've got to do it all over again on Saturday in Anaheim. I had to think of what today is, what the game day is. I'm a mess right now when it comes to all of that. Do you feel like you travel with us now? Do you feel like that?
Yeah, it's just game day and non-game day is the only way I can go. Is like, I know we're playing Minnesota tomorrow, and after that, I don't even know when we're leaving for California, but I'm looking forward
to it. 10 o'clock Friday morning, baby.
Oh, there you go.
On the bird, 10 o'clock.
I better pack on Thursday.
You better pack on Thursday, too. Absolutely. Jean-Luc Grandpierre sitting in with me here tonight. You know, you're talking about the Anaheim Ducks and Pat Verbeek as their general manager. It's interesting. I thought a lot this week about the difference between these two teams and just the way things worked out. I mean, you have Anaheim. Pat Verbeek was in place. When he got there, he hires a coach, and he hires a teaching coach, right? And he has that guy in place when he brings in these young players. McTavish, you know, we talk about Carlson coming in there. Cutter Gauthier was a first-round pick of the Flyers. They get him in a trade. Seneca, they draft, yeah, and they bring him in. So they've got a young coach there, a teacher. And after a couple of years, this is my opinion on it, you look at the coach and you say, okay, you've done a really nice job teaching, but I'm not so sure you're the guy that can take us to the next level. Thank you for your service. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get somebody, and that somebody happens to be Joel Quenneville, a very experienced coach, a Stanley Cup winning coach that they bring in there, and they take off from there. For the Blue Jackets, just the way the circumstances have worked out, there are many of these players that have been around here that have had two general managers and three coaches mm-hmm. in their young tenure. So, you know, a lot of people want to compare the Blue Jackets and the Ducks because they're supposed to be in the same place in the rebuild. But that being said, I think Anaheim is a little bit of an advantage because they've had a little bit more stability at the top.
Yeah, they do. And it's not the young guy's fault. It's just the circumstances. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, Cronin was hard on these guys. He was extremely hard. And the word around the league was like, he is so hard on these guys that even the veterans were like, we need a new voice, right? Mm-hmm. But he really instilled what it takes to play in the NHL. And like you said, whether you talk about Carlson or Gauthier last year, or, you know, Mitchikoff on the back end with Jackson Lacombe, another young defenseman that's going to be an elite superstar eventually. There's so many young guys. And then now you bring Quenneville, and you bring guys like Kreider and Trouba, Radko Gudas, guys that, you know, I've been through a grind, won the Stanley Cup. You got a guy like Alex Killorn. It's a nice mix of 36 years old and like 19 years old, right? Playing on the same line. It's so funny. I was watching last night. You got, was it Carlson, Gauthier with a 36-year-old in Killorn, and then you got Seneca and McTavish with like a 32-year-old Kreider, right? And it's like dad and the two kids playing together on lines, but it worked out. And on the back end, it was the same thing. Lacombe with Gudas, old guy, young guy, and then the second one was Mitchkov with Trouba, I believe. So it's like, how can you surround your guys not only off the ice, but also on the ice? Every presence, they've done a perfect job.
And let's not forget where Pat Verbeek came from. He was in that Tampa system with Steve Yzerman when they were building that group that went to the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row. I mean, there's a blueprint there. The people in Detroit will be saying, what happened to that blueprint? We haven't seen it since Yzerman got here. But Pat Verbeek has put it into play.
Yeah, the Verbeek plan, let's call it the Pat Verbeek plan, has worked better than the Iser plan in Detroit. Completely different way in the way they approached it, to be honest with you. I think they preach a lot of patience in Detroit, and he did not want to, you know, Steve Yzerman doesn't like to overpay for free agents. As in Anaheim, Pat Verbeek may have learned from Yzerman and said, hey, clearly your plan's not working out. This is what I'm going to do. And he brought some big money free agents, guys that weren't in best situation in New York or wherever they were, brought them in, and it worked perfectly for them so far.
All right, well, this is a perfect transition because we're talking about general managers, and the Buffalo Sabres made a change with their general manager this week. Kevin Adams, a former Blue Jackets player, was shown the door, and Jarmo Kekäläinen, the former GM of the Blue Jackets, takes over in Buffalo. Coming up next, I'm going to be joined by Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. We'll talk about that switch in Buffalo, about what changes may be in the offing for the Buffalo Sabres. Could there be matches between the Sabres and the Blue Jackets? And we'll talk about the rest of the Eastern Conference as well as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
First Merchants Bank has
best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A little sunshine, breezy, warm and dry on this Wednesday. Temperatures in the mid to upper 40s, down to around 30 degrees on Thursday morning. Mostly cloudy and breezy conditions. Plenty of clouds, rain showers, gusty winds, and warm temperatures on Thursday, especially afternoon and Thursday night. Highs in the low to mid 50s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan. I'm joined right now by Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. Indeed, there was news in Buffalo this week when it comes to the Buffalo Sabres. Former Blue Jackets player Kevin Adams, who had been the general manager, was relieved of his duties and replaced by, get this, former general manager of the Blue Jackets, Jarmo Kekäläinen, who had been a special assistant for the last couple of months for the Sabres. Mike, I guess it's easy to look at this and say, well, it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. The timing of it, though, were you surprised by when they decided to make this move?
You know, it's a double-edged sword there, Bob. It made the sense to do it. They were on a six-game Western road trip, and they're coming back home off that trip with 4 days before their next game, so there was a natural inflection point in the schedule. But let's be honest here, not many teams fire their GM on their longest winning streak of the season. The Sabres started the road trip 0-3, then they won the last three to split it 3-3. That was their first three-game winning streak of the season. They won at Edmonton, Vancouver, and Seattle, and the day after they win in Seattle, they fire Kevin Adams. So, you know, in the craziness that is the Buffalo Sabres not being in the playoffs since 2011 and going through a slew of coaches and GMs, that's pretty high on the list for timing of a firing.
And the thing about it is, you talk about that slew of coaches and general managers. Throughout those 14 years, the team hasn't been in the playoffs. There have been good players, and some of those have moved on. Some of them are still there right now.
Think of all the guys who've left here. All the guys who've left here and won Stanley Cups, okay? I mean, certainly everybody comes up right away with Eichel in Vegas and Sam Reinhart. But, you know, Ryan O'Reilly won the Conn Smythe Trophy in St. Louis in 2019. And Zach Bogosian won a Stanley Cup. Evan Rodriguez won Stanley Cups in Florida. They've had guys leave. Brandon Montour, another one, won a Stanley Cup in Florida. Kyle Okposo, captain, was a trade deadline guy who basically chased the cup in his last year. But, yeah, guys have left here and contributed. They have no shortage of good players. They have no shortage of good players right now. And here they are struggling, still trying to get out of last place in the Eastern Conference. So it's just been lather, rinse, repeat here for a long time.
You know, a lot of people sometimes in these types of situations, Mike, will look toward the ownership. Now, Terry Pegula owned this team. He owns this team. He took this team when it was bankrupt and it was looking for ownership and gave it that. He then since picked up the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League, and I know there's a lot of attention put there as well, but I don't think it's an ownership thing. So what the heck is it in Buffalo?
Well, it is.
Oh, is it? Okay. Go ahead.
It is. He's the only consistent thing in the 14 years. He's the only one that's been here the whole time. Now, just for the record, the bankruptcy was previous. That was 2003. When Terry bought the team in 2011, they weren't even for sale. He basically said to Tom Golisano, I'll put $189 million in a Dixie Cup if you want to sell the team. And Golisano said, sure, I only paid whatever he paid for it, $30 million or whatever. Terry's a hockey fan. Terry wants nothing more to win the Stanley Cup. I could submit to you, I think Terry Pegula would rather win the Stanley Cup than the Super Bowl, believe it or not. That's how much he loves hockey and loves the Sabres. He has no idea how to win. He's been too involved. He's been in the way. He's the only person who's been here 14 years. And Jarmo Kekäläinen at his press conference said, I have autonomy, 100% autonomy to run the hockey operations department. He did say Terry's the owner. Terry can ask questions and whatever. But it did seem like we were going to go down a new road here with Terry not getting in the way, not scouting players, influencing the draft, trades, whatever. You know, Jarmo's not going to ask permission anymore to do things like Kevin Adams may have. Jarmo's going to tell Terry we're doing this.
And when you talk about Kevin Adams, I know right from the time he was put in as the general manager, one of the knocks on him was, even though he was a former NHL player, he was working in the business end and not in the hockey end of things. So, yes, a hockey guy, but put into that role that, I don't know, it's easy to say now, maybe he wasn't ready for, maybe he wasn't prepared for going into it. That's the kind of thing you're talking about here, right?
Yeah, there's some of that. I mean, he was Terry's guy. But let's be honest here. Say something on Kevin Adams' behalf. He was from Buffalo. Kevin Adams wanted nothing more than to be the solution for the Buffalo Sabres. Because the crowning moment of Kevin Adams' playing career was winning the Stanley Cup in 2006 for the Carolina Hurricanes. And who did he beat in the Eastern Conference Final? And whose dreams did he wreck in 2006? The Buffalo Sabres. So Kevin Adams wanted to bring the Stanley Cup here to, you know, get one back for the hometown. He did everything in his power to do it. He just simply at times was simply not decisive enough, couldn't react well during a season. I thought he had some pretty good off seasons. He had a terrific off season this year in terms of player acquisition. Does not do enough during the season when things go a little off the rails, and that really might be my biggest criticism of him. A fine, upstanding person lost their job here. It's always a shame, but you know what, Bob? You know, you've been around long enough. Coaches and GMs have shelf lives. And Kevin Adams' shelf life simply expired here. It was just time. The trust in him from the fan base was gone. I think some of the trust in the locker room was gone. There wasn't enough being done to reshape this thing on the fly, and I think they needed to try a different voice.
And even over the last couple of years, I think it's fair to say that the Sabres, even though they missed the playoffs, Mike, there would be a stretch, and you were kind of alluding to this, not doing things when things go bad. There would be a great start to the season, and then a 10-game losing streak that basically has you out of it. And that must be even more frustrating and almost maddening, I would think, for a Buffalo Sabres fan.
Yeah, they had an 8-game losing streak in November of 22. They got back into that one. They missed the playoffs by one point. They went 0-10-3 last year. And I don't know how Kevin even survived with his job after that. He didn't make a move. He didn't waive anybody. He didn't trade anybody. He didn't call anybody up. It was just crazy. This year, they went 1-4-4. You know, since then, they've been 9-6. You know, but you've got to do something. And this year, the big thing, they have three goalies. They were paralyzed by three goalies. Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen didn't make the start of the season. He was hurt. They claimed Colton Ellis and waivers from St. Louis. Okay, that's fine. Well, when Luukkonen comes back and is healthy, you've got to get rid of one of the goalies. And now nobody's happy. The goalies aren't happy. They can't get their work in. No one gets the rhythm. Lindy Ruff is clearly unhappy with the situation, has mentioned it to the media multiple times how difficult it is for him. You know, Kevin just couldn't make a decision here about what they were going to do with the goaltending. So I think if you look to me and say, what's Yarmo going to do first? Colton Ellis is on injured reserve. Once Colton Ellis is ready to go, Yarmo's getting rid of one of these goalies. May not be Colton Ellis on waivers. Might be a trade of Alex Lyon or Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen. Yarmo's getting rid of a goalie. He pretty much said that today. We'll see about the coaching staff. I don't know. Yarmo wasn't 100% endorsing of Lindy Ruff, you know, but we'll see. I don't know.
When you talk about the goalies, Colton Ellis, the big thing with him was they get him and he played so well, they were afraid to put him back on waivers, right? Because they felt that St. Louis was going to claim him right back.
Absolutely. He played better than expected. He was basically supposed to be an injury fill-in, but they liked him. They had him targeted as one of three young AHL goalies that could be out there, and St. Louis waived him. And frankly, we're sitting here going, why in the world did St. Louis let him out? Why didn't they waive Joel Hofer, as terrible as their goaltending is, even though Hofer had a shutout against Buffalo this year? I just think you got to put Ellis on waivers now. Unless there's a team out there. You know, teams are looking for goalies. Edmonton was one. Somebody might want Alex Lyon. He's cheap. He signed for next year at $1.5 million, I think. Maybe you get a deal for Alex Lyon. And you say to yourself, we're going to go with Luukkonen and we're going to go with Ellis. But whatever it is, I almost don't care, Bob, what they do. I really don't. Just pick two of them and get on with your lives. You know, because it's better for everybody involved. If three goalies was so good, every team in the league would do it. But now they sent Noah Oslin to Rochester because they didn't have a roster spot for him. Only because Ellis got hurt were they able to get Oslin back here after he played a game. So it doesn't work.
And Devon Levi is the guy that the Sabres are hoping is the goaltender of the future. And he's in Rochester right now. How many guys are still down there? Because I know Georgiev was signed. I think he's since moved on to Russia. So how many goalies have the Sabres stockpiled now?
They have too many. I still think, you know, Levi's status now is in question. Levi was the goalie of the future under Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams traded for him with the Sam Reinhart deal. We'll see how Kekalainen views Devon Levi because he's been to Rochester a bunch this year to watch games. And I think they're keeping him in Rochester this year because it's basically on the Dustin Wolf mode of playing 100-plus games in the AHL before you try to become an NHL regular. But, yeah, they've got Levi, they've got Pius Leninen, they got Scott Ratzliff draft picks. You know, they got three goalies in the NHL. To me, the Buffalo Sabres have some goalies to be trading here. You don't want to run out of goalies ever, and I kind of think maybe draft one every year, but they have to make a decision here on Levi going into next season for sure, and I think we should see him at some point in the NHL playing a few games this year.
I'm talking with Mike Harrington, columnist for the Buffalo News here on the Inside Edge. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment, but I want to remind you, you can give the gift of Blue Jackets hockey this year with the Holiday Gift Pack. It's presented by Homage. You can get two tickets to two games of your choice, plus an exclusive Homage shirt, and it all starts at just $109. Get yours by going to bluejackets.com/holiday. More of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank right after this on 97.1 The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Guys,
love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on The Fan's YouTube channel. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. A couple of days ago, Yarmo Kekalainen, the former Blue Jackets general manager, was named general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. Right now I'm joined by Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. You said a few minutes ago that with every general manager and coach in the National Hockey League, there is a shelf life. And I said that yesterday about Jarmo Kekäläinen. Jarmo did a great job when he was here. And then it just came to a point, and the point was after 11 years, quite frankly, right, that you just kind of hit the wall with it, right? If things aren't getting better, and it's hard to think that things are going to continually get better over a decade plus, but you get to a point where you just have to go. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you were a bad manager. It just means it's time to take your talent somewhere else. And quite frankly, I'm pleased for Jarmo. I think he's a very good guy. I think he deserves another chance to be a GM, and I think that he can maybe do some good things for you guys there in Buffalo.
Well, and the other thing is, he's had a really huge head start. He's been here since the spring. He was here all through prospect camp in the summer. He was here all through training camp. He's been in Rochester. We've seen him at most every game. He's been on road trips. So he's really gone full bore into this thing, taking notes on every player in this organization, NHL and below. So I think he's got a really good base of knowledge to work off of here right now. And I think he's got some ideas on what needs to change here and what is good. And certainly at his press conference, he made the point there, Bob, there's some good players on this team. This team should not be where it is in the standings right now. When you think of Darlene, Thompson, Tuck, Josh Doan, Zucker, Quinn, I can go on with some of the names here. You know, but they struggled in that one stretch, and they've had three really terrible stinkers of games. They've lost. Here's the Buffalo Sabres conundrum of the season. They have boat raced the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 at home, led in Edmonton 3-0 going into third period, had to win in overtime. So they beat the Edmonton Oilers twice this year. They've lost to the Calgary Flames twice, giving up 13 goals. The Calgary Flames averaged 2.3 goals a game in all games this year, not against Buffalo. It's just hard to figure this team out.
Well, as I talk to you right now, this Columbus team is a hard team to figure out, too, because it's in a stretch where it's being tested and has had trouble holding third period leads and has had trouble just getting points in games. And the Blue Jackets fans immediately, with Jarmo getting named the general manager in Buffalo, start asking, what deals can the Blue Jackets and the Sabres make? Because Jarmo loves some of these players. They're his guys.
Yeah.
See any matches here, Mike?
You know
who they want? They want Tage Thompson for, yeah, you know, Kent Johnson.
Right. They want Tage Thompson, whatever. Yeah, they're not getting Tage Thompson. I'll be honest with you. I have thought about the guy I have thought about on the Columbus Blue Jackets is Kent Johnson, because he seems to have been a little bit in the doghouse. Might just be one of those young players who need a little change of scenery. You know, but I think what we're going to see here, and you saw it obviously in the time Jarmo was in Columbus, you're going to see a lot of hockey trades. We've started the last couple of years to see some hockey trades in Buffalo. When you think of Casey Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram, when you think of Dylan Cousins for Josh Norris, you think of what we saw in the summer, J.J. Paterka for Michael Kesslering and Josh Doan. Those were all three pretty good hockey trades Kevin Adams pulled off, veteran NHL players, not picks, not prospects. I think Sabres fans want to see a couple more of those. And, yeah, you would think if Jarmo Kekäläinen has something up his sleeve in mind that he might go back to the well in Columbus first and see who the Blue Jackets might be interested in here. And I'll say this, the Buffalo Sabres, they got players in Rochester people would want. There's players here. I expect the Buffalo Sabres to have – I really think it's possible they're going to have two or three new players before the holiday roster freeze.
Hey,
I think Jarmo wants to go out and make an impression right away. I'm going to tweak this roster. I'm going to get a couple people in here. Kevin Adams is gone. I'm the GM. And I really think that they're going to be very bold in the next 3 or 4 days and do something to make a little shift here, because they're happy how they're playing. You know, they've won 3 in a row. They've won 9 out of 15. You know, they went 9-6 in these last 15. They're still 6 points out and, you know, chasing a lot of teams. Well, you go 9-6 in the next 15, you're going to be 2 or 3 points out. And that's the thing Jarmo said at his presser. There's a lot of hockey left. There's 50 games left. There's 6 points out. It's hard to chase all these teams down. They're not 16 points out, and there's not 10 games left. they're still in it, in my mind.
You mentioned Bowen Byram. This guy, in the summertime, he seemed like he was done as a Buffalo Sabre. He was going to be traded out of there. Then they signed him to an extension, and he's still there. Is he staying now with a new GM?
He only signed a two-year extension. You know, I think he felt a little bit that he was betting on himself, and then he could see what happens. They could trade him this year, and he'd be really, if they wanted to trade him this year in March, he'd have a year left in his deal. He'd be very interesting to people. He likes it here. He said openly he likes it here. He likes the locker room. He likes his teammates. So he was in no hurry to leave, even though he's got a Stanley Cup already in Colorado, and now they haven't made the playoffs here, which he has admitted is tough on him. But he hasn't played real well at times this year. His play has picked up noticeably lately, I think. But that's a guy that you would think a lot of people would be asking about. And it came out that the Sabres at least were on the periphery of the Quinn Hughes talk, so I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you to 600% one of the players in any offer for Quinn Hughes was Bowen Byram. He's a Vancouver guy, for one thing. And obviously the Canucks would probably want a little help on defense. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe that's a guy that Jarmo Kekäläinen is talking about. I don't know. We'll see.
Talk about the Quinn Hughes trade last week. Tristan Jarry also got traded to Edmonton for Stuart Skinner. We're coming up on the trade freeze here very quickly. By the end of the week, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about big deals like that, especially the huge thing. That's a huge deal at this time of the year. And as we're talking about, you know, new general manager maybe doing something, do you think there possibly could be some activity across the league before we get to that freeze on the 20th?
You know, I'm always skeptical about NHL GMs. There's a lot of talk, and we always joke about Canadian television making a big deal about deadline day, and it's a flop. I don't think these guys are that bold. I think what Guerin and Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin in Vancouver pulled off, and Guerin in Minnesota, I think that was unbelievable to have a deal of that magnitude in the middle of December. And really a deal that no one wasn't even rumored. There was no talk of Quinn Hughes going to Minnesota. It was all about Detroit, or could the Devils swing it with some of their no-trade clauses and their cap space. But what a stealth move by Minnesota there. I think we'll see a couple minor things maybe, but the only thing I would say is, are teams in the Western Conference now compelled to react now to Quinn Hughes being in Minnesota, or do they wait a little closer to the deadline? I mean, Colorado and Dallas have both got to like the position they're in, but they got to be saying, we got to beat Minnesota in a playoff series. We're playing Quinn Hughes six or seven times, so they're going to have to be some thoughts in those two front offices for sure, for starters.
Yeah, that the marquee defenseman within that Central Division just went up by one.
I mean, Makar in Colorado, Miro Heiskanen in Dallas, and Quinn Hughes all in the same division of the top three teams. Good Lord. And, you know, and don't forget, they're down in the standings this year. Where was Josh Morrissey in the Norris Trophy rating out of Minnesota, out of Winnipeg last year? Where was he in the voting? So, yeah, it's an unbelievable division.
When do you think things are going to shake out in the Eastern Conference? You think we're going to stay in this logjam all the way till late in the season?
You know, it's hard to say. The Buffalo Sabres, for instance, have had a weird schedule. They play in Ottawa on Tuesday. That'll be the first time in 18 games they will have played a team in the Atlantic Division. It's hard to believe you played 17 in a row out of your division. So they haven't had a lot of chances to make up ground on teams. But it still looks like, to me, the most likely scenario is three playoff teams in the Atlantic and five playoff teams out of the Metropolitan Division. Right now, unless Pittsburgh continues to blow four-goal leads every game and get 1 point a night, holy cow, that's a story in itself.
I don't feel bad for them. I've been watching it for weeks.
No. You know, you give up a tying goal with a tenth of a second to Anaheim, you blow a four-goal lead in the third period to San Jose, and the next day you blow a three-goal lead in the third period to Utah. Just unbelievable. But, yeah, I think it's real tight. Can one team in this conference go on a 6-7-8-game winning streak? You know, look at the Atlantic. Do you believe in any of the top teams in the Atlantic other than Tampa, really? Do you really believe in Detroit or Montreal to finish in the top three? Do you think Florida's got to figure it out once Tkachuk comes back to the lineup and finish in the top three? Probably. Then you look at the Metro. The Devils have fallen apart you know, with all the injuries they've had and Jack Hughes' bad restaurant meal. So now Pittsburgh, they're falling apart. So I think obviously we're back to Carolina and Washington, and the surprise team is, I mean, you know, forget about the Calder Trophy. You know, how many Norris and Hart votes is Matthew Schaefer going to get the way the Islanders are going this year? I mean, the Calder Trophy's over. We shouldn't even have stories about who are the top five candidates for the Calder Trophy. It's over. His name's already on the damn plaque, you know, so it's unbelievable. I mean, and that's the thing that's weird about drafting sometimes. Did anybody say that Matthew Schaefer, the probable number one pick, was the next Cale Makar or Bobby Orr? I mean, holy mackerel, what a year he's having. But the impact on the New York Islanders is unbelievable. He's franchise changing. They probably project to be in the top three in the Metropolitan Division this year.
Oh, look, I love Matthew Darche, but that just turns my stomach a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to figure. You know what? You never could have imagined that he, I mean, I picked him to win the Calder Trophy before the season. You never could have imagined he would have this kind of impact on his club in the standings, but look where they are.
Yeah, look where they are indeed. Mike, thanks for taking some time for me. I appreciate it as always, my friend. I hope you have a good Christmas, a good New Year's, and I hope things get better there with Yarmo in Buffalo. Not to the Blue Jackets demise by any or expense at any means, but I hope it gets better for you there. You're dealing with a good guy as a GM. I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. I'll see you the first couple of days in January. We'll be in Nationwide Arena, one of my favorite places in the league. So I'm looking forward to that.
It should be warmer then than it is now, I would hope.
I hope so.
Yeah. I would hope. All right. Thank you, Mike. That is Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. Stay tuned. I'll come back and wrap up this week's edition of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to the Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on the Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination. All Blue Jackets, all the time.
This is
the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ring in 2026 with the fifth line as the Blue Jackets take on the New Jersey Devils in a New Year's Eve showdown. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena in a game presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com. Jean-Luc is back with me right now. What a game that one could be, because the last time the Blue Jackets and the Devils got together, it was Fight Fest in New Jersey. Some would say there's a lot of fighting in New Jersey. I don't know. Just in general. But anyway, I don't know. It's so funny how things work. Sometimes you expect games like that to be full of fights, and then there aren't any. I don't know. You want to take a prediction on that one?
Well, that'll be interesting. Number one, will Mathieu Olivier be back for that game? I bet you he's got that one circled on the calendar. There's no doubt about it. But listen, most likely nothing is going to happen, because every time you expect something crazy to happen, like you said, nothing happens. And when you don't expect anything, just like last game in New Jersey, that's when everything kind of goes out of control. So, but listen, those New Year's Eve games are always so exciting at Nationwide Arena. I still remember the one against the Florida Panthers. I believe Zach Werenski had a hat trick on Bobrovsky.
Yes, he did.
They're always fun, and you ring in the new year, hopefully with a big win, the cannon, they got the fireworks, got a little bit of everything going on. So, if you can get tickets, get to the building. Should be a fun one.
It should be. Absolutely. All right. So Mike Harrington and I were talking about this logjam in the Eastern Conference. And with the Blue Jackets winning last night, they climb out of last place. They're now two ahead of the Buffalo Sabres. They're tied with Ottawa. But then you look at it. Toronto, 1 point ahead.
the Rangers, the Panthers, 2 points ahead. The Devils, the Penguins, 3 points ahead. And you got to get the 4 points to reach Montreal. They have the final wild card spot as we speak right now. Philadelphia has got 40 points. That's the team. I can't believe it. Like, you can say anything you want to about the Penguins early in the year, and yes, I was stunned. They're coming back to earth. Philadelphia, I'm looking at this and saying, when is this team coming back down to earth? Because they're still in it. Long way to go. I get it. I understand. But what are they doing up there?
I'm not sure. And, you know, you could ask yourself pretty much about anybody in the Eastern Conference. You know, Detroit's in the first place in the Atlantic. It was about time. Boston, who is left for dead, is second in the Atlantic. You look at the New York Islanders, who went in full-blown rebuild mode. There's no doubt about it. They strike gold with Matthew Schaefer, but Matthew Darche said, hey, give me some time here. This is going to take some time, and they're sitting in second place in the Metro. So it is so tight right now for the Blue Jackets. There's still hope. There's no doubt about it. Like you said, only 4 points. The only problem is you have 17 that you need to pass, right? Because 4 points seems like nothing, but now you're looking, okay, so you have 7 teams that need to lose every other night for you to gain some ground. It's not going to be easy. But that win yesterday keeps you in that race. And that's very important because you look at even the Buffalo Sabres that just got a new GM there. They're in dead last, but they still have a chance to get in the playoff. That's how tight it's been in the East this season.
And you look, there are 3 games left before the Christmas break. The one tomorrow night at home against Minnesota. Look at this team. They now have Quinn Hughes. They've got one of the best defensemen in hockey working on the blue line there. This is going to be a much different team than we saw in game 2 in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Not only did the team get better, but in the locker room, when your GM goes out and makes a move like that, it sends a big jolt into that locker room. And it sounds crazy because you're like, well, did we really get better? You know, number one, yes, you did. But when your GM shows that he believes in you that much, it's gold. There's nothing really that can replicate something like that. And for Minnesota right now, they're on their high horses. They're not losing. And last night they beat Washington 5-0. So it just shows you, right? They got great goaltending, good defensemen, great forwards, good coaching. So it's not going to be an easy one for the Jackets tomorrow. That's for sure.
Then out to California. And they take on the Ducks. We've already beat that to death. And then the last game before the break will be on Monday, playing in L.A. against the Kings. Always a tough trip to Los Angeles for this club.
Yes, and I'm not sure why, to be honest with you. Is like, it doesn't matter if the Western Conference team, you know, like the Anaheim, the L.A., the San Jose's, are having good years or bad year. It seems like it's always been a struggle out west, period, for the Blue Jackets. Whether it's Western Canada, Western United States, never really found too much success, so hopefully that changes this year.
That will be nice. Are you ready for the Christmas break?
3 days? I'm ready for the Olympic break.
The heck with 3 days, you're ready for 3 weeks, right?
That's right. But I will take the 3 day. There's no doubt about it. I think everybody's excited about it. Doesn't matter if you're a hockey fan, a basketball fan, if you're working 9 to 5, everybody loves Christmas and everybody enjoys the break. So yes, I'm looking forward to it. No doubt.
Well, Jean-Luc, thanks for filling in for Jody with me tonight. I really appreciate it. And look forward to traveling with you to California this weekend. And I hope you and your family have a great Christmas and a happy holiday season.
Wishing the same to you and all you listening right now.
That is Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Look, because of Christmas and New Year's, this show is going to take a couple week hiatus. We won't have a show for the next couple of weeks, but Jody Shelley and I will return with you in early January. And hopefully by that time, the Blue Jackets continue to roll and have gotten things on track where they want to be. In the meantime, as Jean-Luc was just saying, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and yours. Have a great holiday season. Have a safe holiday season as well. And thank you for listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott for Jean-Luc Grandpierre. So long, and thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Guys, thanks
for the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders.
These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities. Victory over setbacks. Victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we've never once seen a bill. It gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son, and we're going to beat cancer together. Now, he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
You know what hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
The Fan. This is the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League.
The Reds are on the radio!
The Hot Stove League is brought to you by JTM Food Group. Let's create great dishes together. JTM, MSA Design, the region's leader in sports, education, and civic design, and the official architect of the Reds. Tom's Watch Bar, all the sports, all the time. BetMGM, now you're betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today. Please gamble responsibly. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought.
The Fan is your home of the Buckeyes, Blue Jackets, the NFL, and now your Cincinnati Reds. Catch all 162 games right here on the Fan family of stations.
The OG of Major League Baseball is on the OG of Central Ohio Radio. Proud to be the home of the Reds in Columbus. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The Reds Hot Stove League.
Welcome in to the Budweiser Reds Hot Stove League, presented by UDF. We are live at the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Tom's Watch Bar at the Banks Inn. Jimmy, we've got a big show for you tonight with Jim Day. I'm Tommy Thrall. Little Reds news to talk about. There are some rumors abound already, and reports are that the Reds have added a left-handed reliever to their bullpen for this upcoming season.
Yeah, if the reports are true and the physical is passed, et cetera. Ken Rosenthal, I think, was reporting first that Reds have signed left-handed reliever Caleb Ferguson, 29 years of age. Ohio product. He's up there from God's country, Columbus. Thank you very much. Throughout the season, the Reds needed someone out of the bullpen to face left-handed batters. For most of the season, their best option was a right-handed pitcher in Graham Ashcraft. So this fits the bill. Last year, I think it was 184 average against him versus left-handed batters. Gave up only two home runs the entire season. Kind of changed his pitch repertoire a little bit, so I'm not sure you can judge him over the whole career. I'll judge him on last year, which was really, really good. ERA in the threes. He will help.
No doubt about it. I mean, like you said, if you look at one thing that the bullpen really needed last year, they never did quite have a reliable left
hand. In high leverage,
No doubt. So, Caleb Ferguson, 70 games last year between Pittsburgh and Seattle. As Jim mentioned, ERA right in the threes. So, those reports just coming out, about an hour and a half ago. So, still fresh, but still some things to button up to get that deal done and in writing. Hopefully, later this week, we'll have official word on that. The other exciting news this week that came out earlier today, the Reds Hall of Fame induction class for 2026, and we've got the executive director of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, Rick Walls, with us to talk about it. We'll have Marty Brenneman on a little bit later on. Among those elected, Aaron Harang will also join us on the show today, and Reggie Sanders elected as well. He will be on the show a little bit later on as well. Brandon Phillips, of course, headlines the list, a three-time All-Star, four Gold Gloves, and a Silver Slugger to his credit, in addition to Harang and Sanders. Lou Piniella rounds out the list. Really, Jimmy, before we get to Rick, an incredible induction class, and what a class of 2026. I saw some people on Twitter saying this might be the most deserving class the Reds have had inducted into their Hall of Fame of the many, many classes that have gone in.
Well, I think the people had waited for Reggie Sanders for a while. Brandon Phillips was a lock and one of the fan favorites, one of the most dynamic players that the put on a Reds uniform ever. Aaron Harang was an opening day starter so many times and was super reliable in a point where the Reds didn't have a lot of depth of pitching. He was premier guy. And then Sweet Lou. I mean, when you cap it off with Lou Piniella, who was so, he might be top five beloved figures all time in Reds history. Definitely top 10. So, what a class.
Which is saying something for a guy that managed this team for 3 years.
It's just the way he did it. That year was magical.
No doubt about it. Let's bring in Rick Walls. Rick, congratulations on the news today. Obviously, exciting stuff. Your reaction, I mean, you have a pretty good feel for this stuff. By this point, you've been at it for a long time. I'm sure you had a good idea who was going to make it. But now that it's official, your reaction?
You know, it's one of the strongest classes we've had. I've heard a lot of people tell me the same thing. When the Veterans Committee met and added, and we knew the results of the modern player ballot. So remember, there's the two components, right? The modern player ballot, players that played within the last 15 years. That's where Brandon and Aaron came through. The Veterans Committee met. They sat down, deliberated for about 2.5 hours, went over all the candidates in detail, and that's where you find Lou Piniella and Reggie Sanders rising to the level. When I knew that we were going to have the four, I knew we had a stellar class.
No doubt. Well, talk about Lou Piniella for a second. We'll talk about him, no doubt, with Marty a little bit later on. You talk about a guy getting his due. Boy, very, very deserving of this honor, of course, with the 90 wire-to-wire team. Not a bad way to start your managerial career with a team.
Not at all. And talking to him, you know, he says, I took over a good team and Pete Rose's team, and then I added some components, and then I helped them gel together, and then we just went wire-to-wire, you know, the first team in the National League to do that. And I think you look at that team, and you look at those players, you talk to them, and they've been back many times, right? This is the 35th anniversary of that team, and they talk always ad nauseum about Lou Piniella and what he meant to that club, whether it's the Nasty Boys, Larkin, Davis, Hatcher, O'Neill, all these guys say, you know, Lou was the guy that held us together. So I expect a big turnout when come April when Lou comes back into town.
and you said April. Normally it's midsummer, so we've moved that up a bit so we don't have to sweat it out there in the scorching heat. I think April, there's always a lot of interest in the team in April.
Yeah,
can you speak to the moving that up?
I think, you know, this had to do with the Reds schedule. We always like to kind of work ourselves around the schedule so the current team can go to the induction gala, which is the big event that takes place at the convention center at the end of the weekend. So they will all attend. So what that means is probably all the players that are coming to be inducted this year, at least in Brandon and Harang, they've been to the gala. They know how we treat history. They know how important this is to the organization. And in time, you know, they'll figure out what it means to them even more and more. And I hear that from all of the players that get inducted. So April, the convention center is available. The Red schedule is available. And we're hoping everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a big weekend.
The dates, April 24th through 26th, the whole weekend celebration of this induction class. The gala you're talking about at the convention center will be on April 26th. Exciting stuff. Brandon Phillips, you talk about a guy, you're watching his career play out, and you just know as you're watching him, this guy's going to be in the team's Hall of Fame at some point, and no real surprise there, but going back, watching the highlights, the enthusiasm that guy played with, pretty fun to be able to finally induct him into the Hall of Fame.
So many people just came to the ballpark to watch Brandon. I mean, he was one of those electric players, defensive superstar, best defensive player in the league for many years. It was just fun to watch. He brought enthusiasm. You never knew what he was going to do. Maybe he was behind the back to second. Sometimes you're like, wait a minute, don't do that. Just throw it straight. But he always came through, and I know he's excited about this honor. One of the cool things we got to do was make the phone calls. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. What were the phone calls like? Well, what's that like to tell a guy that one of their lifelong dreams has been achieved?
This is one of the perks of the job, right?
Yeah.
So to be able to do this, and we know we're changing lives, not just theirs, their family members, and from now on they'll always be called Reds Hall of Famer. You're going to add that to their bio. So you go into each one of these calls, and you're surprising them because they don't know. Sometimes you have to set up a call. Hey, can I call you? You know, and set up a call for 10 o'clock this time. And they're like, yeah, it might be about this. In the case of Aaron Harang, and I'm sure Aaron's listening right now, but we thought it might be about fantasy camp because he's going to be a fantasy camp coach this year. And started talking to him, and we break the news. And I think, you know, you have to ask him how he felt about the whole thing. And I think it's kind of a neat private moment for them and their family to experience that. I'm curious what it's like when they get off the phone and when they get to tell everybody about it. I did tell them one of the hardest things to do is to keep it quiet. You can't talk about it until Tuesday when we make the announcement. And here we are. So they're excited to be able to finally tell everyone about it.
Very good. Again, folks can get tickets to the gala if they want, right? I mean, tickets are on sale now.
The whole induction celebration, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, our partners, PNC, is the presenting sponsor of that. But you can get tickets right now. Get them for the game that weekend on the 25th, but also on the 26th. That is the gala over the convention center. They are available at redsmuseum.org.
So the actual ballpark ceremony is the 25th. The gala at the convention center, the 26th, tickets available for both, right?
Yeah, and there'll be, as we always do, there will be meet and greets in the museum. We invite all the returning Hall of Famers, all the Hall of Famers to come back. It's going to be a great celebration of Reds history.
Rick, certainly appreciate you coming on with us. Congratulations, a great class, and I know you guys are excited to celebrate it coming up in April.
We are. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick.
That is Rick Walls, the Executive Director of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. We're back with Hall of Fame broadcaster and Reds Hall of Famer Marty Brenneman next. This is the Budweiser Hot Stove League presented by UDF. Live from the BetMGM Sportsbook inside Tom's Watch Bar at the Banks on the Reds Radio Network.
Reds fans, now is the time to get your 2026 season tickets. Reds season ticket members get to sit in the same seat for every game with their friends and family. Choose a plan that fits your schedule and enjoy ultimate flexibility with our exchange program. Can't make a game? Swap it for another. Plus, season ticket members have guaranteed access to 2026 opening day. Visit reds.com/membership to catch all the Reds action at Great American Ballpark next season.
As a family-owned company and a top workplace in the region, JTM Food Group has been pioneering kettle-crafted culinary solutions for years. From tantalizing dips to mouth-watering sauces and more, we lead the pack in delivering high-quality, on-trend items to the entire food service industry. But it's not just about the food. It's about our commitment to doing things the JTM way, with passion, integrity, and a dedication to God and His people. Taste the difference today and learn more at jtmfoodgroup.com. JTM, let's create great dishes together.
To live the life you want to live, Western and Southern is here to help you figure it all out. Our ever-expanding range of life insurance, retirement, and investment solutions are designed to do all the outworking, outthinking, and outperforming so you can outdream. We'll do the heavy lifting to help protect your family's financial future, grow your wealth, and to help make your dreams happen. Western and Southern, life insurance, retirement, and investments. Visit WesternSouthern.com to get started today.
Ever smiling, never gentle on my mind.
Tree on your roof? Fire damage or flooded basement? Water and storm damage happens fast this time of year. For over 43 years, Hayes & Sons has been restoring water damage in Ohio and Kentucky homes and businesses. They'll help you navigate your insurance claim and get your life back on track. So, when property damage strikes, tell your insurance agent you want Hayes & Sons for your restoration work. For more information, please visit HayesAndSons.com.